We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The opioid epidemic is real. Here in Travis County, we average about 127 overdose deaths per year. They say 42% of those are from opioids. Talking about the opioid epidemic today, talking about the opioid epidemic within the COVID-19 pandemic. Helping us get through all the information is Dr. Dan O'Brien. He's a physician. He's a professor. He's got a passion for innovative healthcare. His website is drdanmd.com. Dr. Dan, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Inside Austin.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
When we hear the term, and I just used it, opioid epidemic, what exactly are we talking about?
Sure. So opiate use disorders actually affect about 16 million people worldwide. And here in this country, 2.1 million people are affected, with over 120,000 deaths, worldwide attributed to opiate use. So during this pandemic, as people are social distancing and quarantine, we're actually seeing an increase almost up to 40% in regards to opiate usage.
So we're seeing a spike in usage. Are we also seeing a spike in overdoses? I guess Melissa Etheridge just lost her son to an opioid overdose a few days ago.
Yes, absolutely. And that can be due to, right now, during COVID, the lack of resources. There's no support system, right? There's no live group therapy. And a lot of people actually, including some of the psychiatrists, are utilizing telepsych, which is kind of this virtual chat to be able to communicate. So hopefully in the future, as things kind of slow down with COVID, some of these opiate use disorder patients can go back to seeing their provider live.
What is it about these opioids that makes them so dangerous? Is it the potency? Is it because they're so addictive? Or are they so addictive because of the potency? What makes them so dangerous?
Sure. So anything, having studied addiction sciences, looking at this cycle of addiction where patients go through withdrawals, cravings, or kind of these euphoric effects, and they continuously have this cycle of addiction as they get addicted, it becomes very difficult to get off.
Are those effects, are they physical or psychological or a combination of the two?
Combination of the two, more or less psychological. If we look at opiates such as heroin, morphine, codeine, fentanyl, even synthetic opiates such as oxycodone are some of the opiates that individuals get addicted to.
Is there a difference between an opiate and an opioid? Sometimes the term maybe is interchangeable and sometimes it isn't. The difference is what, synthetic versus natural?
Yes, exactly. So synthetic would be something like oxycodone, where other opiates, like I mentioned, heroin, morphine, codeine, and fentanyl would be considered the other class.
So, and I'm no doctor, obviously. I'm a disc jockey. When we say synthetic versus natural, natural is what, a product of the poppy plant? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, just natural, just naturally occurring from within the body.
And let's talk about treatment options. If somebody has an opioid addiction, what are treatment options? Are we talking about maybe methadone or therapy? What can somebody expect if they're trying to get off the habit?
Yes, great question. So it's actually a combination of medical therapy. There's oral tablets, there's actually injections, as well as psychosocial support and counseling. All that really comes into play. So it's really a combination of both, right? It's the psychosocial support that they're able to get through possibly group therapy, as well as potential medical therapies that can be used daily or even monthly injections.
And with the quarantine, the lockdown, I've got friends in AA. They're really struggling because they can't get to the meetings. You just can't have that many people in a room here in Austin these days. I guess that's kind of the same thing with opioid addiction. What are some ways around that? If they can't get to the meetings, what can be done? What else can be done?
Sure. Through the use of actually healthcare technology, which is known as telemedicine, and now they've come out with what's called telepsych, where actually they can kind of have this kind of virtual group therapy with their providers as well as others. So even though it's not live, you know, right now even physicians have to be able to stay home if they get contracted with COVID. So now they're doing a lot of telemedicine. About 90% of my peers are utilizing that, and what falls within that is telepsych, where, you know, these patients are actually able to get help for their opiate use disorder.
A lot of us are working from home, and we're all using, like, GoToMeeting and FaceTime a lot more, four-hour meetings, as we're all kind of dispersed and not really allowed to come into the office. Is that kind of what you're talking about for therapy for addiction?
Exactly. Just this way to kind of virtually communicate. If, again, you're in lockdown or you're quarantined, you have an avenue of some sort of support. What's really key is that these patients find and identify the appropriate support groups, because a lot of these patients are just kind of left, you know, by themselves and, you know, not knowing what next steps would be during this COVID pandemic.
And for people suffering from addiction, what is it that they need, I guess, first in the short term and then long term? What is the best way to help these people? Is it through therapy and I guess, medical treatment?
Exactly. So through psychosocial therapy, through counseling, as well as different medical therapies that can really kind of help with their addiction. And there's, you know, medical therapies that range from oral tablets to even now we're seeing an increase in the amount of use of injections, if whatever, you know, would work for the patient in order to improve their long-term outcomes.
We're talking to Dr. Dan. He's a physician and a professor. He's got a passion for innovative healthcare. And we've been talking about innovative healthcare, and that's kind of telemedicine and what I would call a go-to-meeting kind of therapy session. I don't know if that's, is it fair to call it that?
Yes, yeah, similar.
Now, we've been talking about treatment. What about prevention? Is there a way that opioid prevention and addiction can be avoided?
Sure. You know, it's always kind of a difficult question as people kind of start, you know, with opiates. They get addicted for various reasons. And I think this is where, again, just trying, it's not necessarily a moral failing, but more of a disease. So I think really understanding that and getting the appropriate support. A lot of people think that opiate addiction is kind of a moral failing, but it's really actually a disease that needs to be treated like other diseases as well. So that's where it's so key to be proactive with your health. If you do have an addiction, to be able to seek out, you know, appropriate providers to be able to help you get that psychosocial counseling and support to be able to help you through this.
How does opioid addiction, how does it typically begin? Is it, I've maybe been in for back surgery and I get something to kill the pain and I develop a dependency. Is that typically how it happens?
Yeah, so there's all kinds of reasons, anywhere from that reason to, you know, say a football player that had a recent injury or a surgery and then gets kind of addicted to, you know, pain medication. And then from there, you go through that cycle of addiction and through that dependence, and then you go through these various relapses that you know, certainly occur. So it's so crucial to be able to catch this early, to be able to get the treatment and support, especially, you know, being in some of these group therapy sessions. I think that's certainly key for that additional support for these patients.
Is opioid addiction something that sneaks up on you? Is it maybe you're addicted for a long time before you realize it? Or how do you maybe come to the realization that you've got a problem?
Sure. Well, according to the DSM-5, there's particular guidelines that pick up, you know, whether or not someone has an opiate use disorder. But at times, you're absolutely correct to your point. Some people don't realize that they have an addiction until they actually seek out treatment or go see their provider to be able to get help. So it could actually be going on, you know, prior to actually getting treatment. So I think that's where it's so crucial right now to be very proactive. And of course, your, you know, physicians are always should be up to date as far as, you know, DSM-5, which are kind of the guidelines that they follow in regards to what's known as OUD, and that's opiate use disorder.
And I guess years ago, maybe doctor shopping was an issue. And I guess that is where you'd get a prescription for something and then that would run out and they wouldn't refill it. So you'd go elsewhere. Has the federal government cracked down on that at all? Or is that an issue? Was it ever an
right.
issue?
Yes, for sure. I certainly think that that was an issue. And I think what had happened is, you know, providers were asking more specific questions to find out more information during that kind of history taking as they were kind of seeing a patient. And usually what you can do to kind of reduce that is just maybe lower the dosage, you know, of a particular medication, or even ask maybe there's some alternatives, you know, say physical therapy or something else that, you know, say it was a sports injury or a type of injury that they can maybe go to first before going, you know, directly to the opiates.
And if somebody suspects a loved one may be abusing an opiate, what are the signs? What should they be looking for?
Right. Well, first thing is first, be able to seek out your, you know, provider to be able to get help. But I would say, you know, these kind of these cravings that these individuals have, these euphoric effects that they have, and even withdrawals that they're, you know, are some of the symptoms that they're certainly going through. So I would just be mindful of, as these patients are going through this cycle of addiction, through these symptoms, right, through this withdrawal, through these cravings, are certainly things to keep an eye out for and then be able to seek help for these patients.
And if somebody needed to get information either for themselves or for a loved one, where can someone go to find out about opioid epidemic? Where can they get info?
Yes, just reliable resources, right? There's, you know, through the Center of Disease Control and various just reputable resources. And, of course, your local provider, you know, to be able to reach out there, or even, you know, DSM-5 guidelines that kind of talk about what to look for with these OUD symptoms. So, again, being proactive is so key, reaching out to your provider, be a primary care physician or a psychiatrist could certainly be helpful.
Yeah, here in Central Texas, one of those resources would be the Travis County Central Health Organization. And Dr. Dan, I appreciate your time. And with the last, say, 60 seconds we've got, what is it that you'd like Central Texas to know about either the pandemic or the opioid epidemic within the pandemic?
Right. No, just to be able to look out for one another, right? We certainly have this kind of opiate epidemic within this pandemic as people are social distancing. They're not getting the support that they're used to having. So it's just being mindful to be able to help patients, you know, during this time, and even utilizing, you know, telepsych or telemedicine to engage with your provider to be able to seek out and get that help. So essentially no man left behind in order to help these patients. And again, it's not a moral failing, but rather a disease that needs to be treated.
All right, that's Dr. Dan O'Brien. He's, again, a physician and a professor. He's got a passion for innovative healthcare, especially that telemedicine, telepsych. If you want to find out more information about Dr. Dan, it's drdanmd.com. Dr. Dan, I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us today on Inside Austin.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me. Always glad to be on.
Catch up with past interviews and more online at our website. Just go to talk1370.com/InsideAustin.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.